Lord Church. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of God in this place. Hallelujah. And if you're not feeling it, stick around. Praise God. Amen. It's here. Praise God. And I believe God is wanting to do something this morning. Praise God. And as our loving pastor has mentioned, today is Family Sunday. And so today, you know, we are going to kind of focus on the young people. Praise God. So if you're a young person under the age of 99, I'm talking to you. Praise God. Praise God. We are going to direct this more toward the little ones, but praise God, I hope that everybody can get something out of it. Praise God. And if not, praise God, I expect you to back us up and be there and pray for our young people. Young people, amen, is my intention this morning to utilize each and every one of you in this message. So take your coats off, get ready. We're going on a journey. All right? Praise God. We love our children. Praise God. Amen. I appreciate this opportunity to minister to you this morning. I appreciate Pastor and his wife. And amen. You know, I can tell you, he loves each and every one of you, especially you munchkins. Amen. It's proven by his little candy ministry. I even see him giving candy out to the ones that are under 99. He loves each and every one of you, and it shows. Praise God, and amen. We all love all our children. Appreciate each and every one. Appreciate our teachers. Praise God. Amen. They instill the word of God into our kids. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We can't do it alone. Amen. And they put much prayer and work into every class and every opportunity to minister to these kids. Praise God. And I know it is their desire as well as mine to see each and every one of these kids saved, speaking in tongues, baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. And I'm believing that we're going to get more kids. Amen. We're going to fill this bus ministry up. Amen. And we're praying for somebody with a burden to take over the bus ministry. Praise God. Amen. I don't know where he's going to come from, but God knows. God will send him. Praise God. Amen. So we're just believing some great things. Praise God. And so, amen. This is going to be a little bit different tonight. I'm not afraid to tell you I am going to be stepping out of my comfort zone this morning and preaching to you in a little bit different way than I'm used to. This is, might be a little bit more like Sunday school. Praise God. And so I hope you will back me up. Praise God. And so if you will stand with me, I want to turn to the book of Genesis. Amen. In the sixth chapter. And she's got it up there. Praise God. Genesis 6 and starting with verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord, and he made that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I'm going to ask Pastor if he would pray over this message. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
What a consistent God we serve.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
So we ask for the anointing of the Spirit of God upon Brother Reynolds as he ministers Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. My God, yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Praise God. You may be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So here in the book of Genesis, we find in the story a time where it was a very evil time. And God looked out and all he can see was a bunch of bad, bad people. Some people that weren't serving God. They weren't living for God, and they're doing all kinds of evil in the sight of God. But God saw there was one person that found grace in his sight, and his name was Noah. And most of us here probably can remember hearing this story as being in Sunday school. I'm sure your teachers have taught it to you or your parents have taught it to you. And it's easy to think of the story of Noah and the ark as just kind of a fiction or a story that was told. But it's important to realize that it is more than just a story. This really happened. This is part of our history. And, you know, and the fact is, these events really happened. And I believe it was approximately 1,440 years ago that all this happened. So it was a little bit back there before our time. Thank God. Praise God. But at this particular time, Noah was 500 years old. How many would like to live to be 500 years old? That's old in our turn. But, of course, back then, they lived a long life. And so this morning, we want to kind of go over what happened in the story. And so, first of all, we need a Noah. Who should we pick for a Noah? Noah! Brother Noah, come on up here. This is going to be easy. I won't have to mix his name up. Brother Noah. Now, you're 500 years old, okay? So you need, okay? You've got three kids, three boys, okay? And you're 500 years old, okay? But you know what? Noah loved God. Aren't you glad that our Noah loves God? Praise God. Noah loved God with all of his heart and with all of his soul. And he served God. And God found grace in Noah and decided that he was going to destroy the entire world. But he wanted to save Noah and his family and those that loved God. And as the story is told, God tells Noah his master plan. And he sends down all his blueprints. Got your blueprints? Here's the blueprints. Okay? The blueprints are in here. God gives the blueprints and how that he wants Noah to build this huge, gigantic ark. And everybody know what an ark is? The Arky. It's a giant ship, okay? In fact, in this particular time, a period, it was going to be the biggest ship ever known to mankind. Does anybody know how big the Ark was? It was actually about 1.5 football fields length. But that is huge. Huge. So, how many have ever worked on a farm? Some of us? Noah, you worked on a farm. Perfect candidate. So Noah's told by God that to gather seven of every clean beast and two of every unclean beast and fowl, both male and female. And those of you that have worked on a farm or have been around a farm or perhaps even walked through a zoo know that sometimes it may not be the most pleasant smell. You know, I worked on a cattle farm where they had cows and horses, and you know, and that's the only animals they had. And I could tell you by experience, just those were like you didn't want to take a deep breath when you get around a lot of them. It's pretty bad. It's not a job that most of us would desire. The stink alone of some of the animals would drive many of us away. And could you imagine all the noises that these animals would make? I mean, just the mooing constantly all day long would drive somebody crazy. But, I mean, what kind of noises do all the animals make? The cows, the dogs, the cats, the giraffes. You know, you can name them all. And I'm sure some of our kids can probably imitate most of those animals. But I'm not asking you to do it right now. Not to mention all the slimy and yucky creatures that had to go on the ark. I can only imagine this morning what my wife would do if she was in charge of all the spiders and snakes. You know, We go, how many like to go fishing? My family loves to go fishing. Melanie will tell you for sure. And Morgan, she loves to fish. And so we get out there, and it seems like every year we go on this vacation, it's kind of a fun thing to take the worms and see how far you can chase mom with them. It's a blast. And I just sit back and watch and think it's great, you know. But can you imagine all these slimy creatures and stuff that had to go on the ark? And so Noah does as God commands and begins to build this ark. You know, I'm not sure how you ever find the time to build an ark. You know, I work a full-time job. Most of us work a full-time job. You know, and then I come home and I deal with five kids. I never have time to even think about trying to build this giant ship in the front yard of my house. I don't know how Noah ever found time. It's probably why it took him 100 years. And so the Bible tells us, though, that he did not do this alone, did he? Noah had three sons. Does anybody know who they were? They were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So this morning, you need to gather your sons together. So I would like Brother Scott, which is going to be Shem, come on up here. Brother Steve, he's such a ham. And Aaron, come on up, Mr. Japheth. These are some hardy sons, aren't they? Hey, man, you think these guys can get the job done? So this morning, we are going to imagine that up here, this is Noah's house up here, okay? And right here is our front yard. And you guys have been commanded, Noah, you've been commanded by God to build an ark. You've got the blueprints, okay? And you've shared with your sons God's plan, okay? And so now it's up to you guys to begin to build this ark. Does anybody know where they lived at that particular time? Did they live in a desert? I wonder where they got the trees from. You know, I wonder where they got all the materials from. How far did they have to travel? You know, I can only imagine that there was probably miles and miles traveling, picking up lumber. And, you know, these guys didn't have, you know, chainsaws or sawmills and stuff to cut all this lumber up. And God was very specific on how to build this ark. Anybody know what kind of wood they had to use? Gopher wood. How many of you have ever seen a gopher tree? I haven't. I've seen a gopher, but I've never seen a gopher tree. And so, you know, and I don't know if it's a hardwood or softwood or how hard it was to cut or to work with, but these guys labored day after day after day. There was, you know, they had to have been tired at the end of the day. Weary at the end of the day. You know, they didn't have semi-trucks. They didn't have trains to haul all this material. They had to pack all this material by hand to their house. You know, I can only imagine. These boys must have got teased a lot at school. I mean, think about it. These boys were the boys of the man who was building a ship in the middle of a desert. In a place where nobody's ever seen rain. There was no lakes nearby. I mean, what these guys were out of their mind. They must have got teased and poked fun of all their life. You know, I don't know that I would have liked to have been in their shoes. Could you imagine all the criticism that Noah and his family had to deal with each and every day? Every time the mailman came by, he would see this huge boat sitting in the front yard in an area, praise God, that was devoid of rain. But Noah and his kids were faithful to the project. And day after day, they worked on getting this ark built. Possibly just Noah and his three boys. I'm not sure if their wives even helped. You know, possibly they did. Possibly the wives got out there and start packing some of the pitch in between all the wood, trying to make this thing water sealed. You know, but... And, of course, maybe they stayed home, making the food and taking care of the farm and things like that. Somebody had to work the farm. And so we don't know. But Noah and the kids were faithful. And all these years while building the ark, where's Noah? Noah, come on up here. You know what Noah was doing besides building the ark? Noah was preaching. He was testifying. He was telling people that God is going to flood the earth. He was telling people, you need to repent or perish. You need to turn from your wicked ways. Every day, Noah was faithful in telling all his friends. And you know what the people did? They just laughed at him. They just teased him. You know, for 100 years, Noah had this great outreach program. And you want to know how many people he saved? Besides his family, zero. Next time you feel down because you'd invited somebody and they didn't come to church, just remember Noah. Just remember Noah. So, they were faithful. And finally, there came a day. Finally, they were putting the finishing touches on this ark. You know, I can only imagine that this family stood back and began to admire all this work that they've been building for almost 100 years. 100 years of hammering and working on the same project. 100 years of getting all this kind of criticism. People poking fun at them. You know what? But I believe that they were faithful. That they kept their vision in sight. They remembered what God had told them. And they believed it. That the flood is coming. The end is coming. And finally, when they were done, The Bible tells us that it was time to get in the ark. And so it was time to gather all these animals together. You know, and so, you know, all you kids out there, today you're going to be the animals today, okay? All right? You kids need to get in the ark. So all the Noah's family start going around and getting all these animals. Fortunately for Noah, he didn't have to travel very far for these animals, because the Bible tells us that God sent the animals to Noah. God sent them to him. He didn't have to go out there and try to trap all these animals. You know, I got to say, if it was left to me to go try to find all these two of every sort of animal, I can guarantee you I would have missed a few sorts. You know, can you imagine as Noah and his family were sitting there by the boat gathering all these animals together? Getting all these animals and bringing them into the ark. What would you have done when the two big grizzly bears start roaring and walking toward you? Or the crocodiles? What would you have done when they start snapping their jaws and start coming your way? Most of us would probably be hightailing it the other way. But you know what? Noah and his family stood their ground. They knew that God was sending these animals. And God was helping them gather them all together. Yet we can't miss any animals. Yeah. And so here we are. All these animals, a lot of them had their own room inside the ark. Because the Bible tells us that there was rooms in there. It also tells us it only had one window in the ark. Can you imagine? Oh, you guys stink. You guys smell. Who's the skunk? Where's the skunks? Anybody the skunk? Okay. Hopefully you didn't get a room next to the skunks. It must have smelled really, really bad. And of course, once all the animals were in the ark, the Bible tells us that 7 days went by. You talk about test your faith. Did we really do right? We're locked up. We're in this boat and nothing's happening yet. 7 days. And finally, the rains begin to fall. The waters start prevailing. The oceans begin to become in a great tumult. You know what that means? They start bouncing in waves everywhere, splashing everywhere. It was a great storm. And finally, for 40 days and 40 nights, this rain kept coming. And the water kept coming out from the ground. And the Bible tells us that one day, the boat, the ark, started coming up. And the waves were tossing it all around. And come on, guys. Guys are shaking all over the place. Okay? The boat's tumbling all over the place. Now, can you imagine as the waters were prevailing, you know, and God had already closed the door of the ark? Could you imagine all the people that Noah had preached to for almost 100 years, having never seen a drop of rain? Could you imagine? You know, I don't know. If I was there, I think I would have been there at the ark banging on the door. Noah, let me in. Let me in, Noah. We believe you now. But it was too late. The door of opportunity was already closed. And so the Bible tells us that
the rains began and raised up, and all of the life on earth that breathed air died. You know how many people survived? 8 people. It was Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and all 4 of their wives. Could you imagine how lonely that would have been, knowing that you're the last men on earth? It'd be like stranded on an island or something, you know? And so, praise God. You can sit down, but you guys can just stay right there. Just stay right there. Praise God. Praise God. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have wanted to have been one of the ones outside of that ark. If the opportunity is given to one of us to get into the ark, I hope that we would take that opportunity. Praise God. Could you imagine if this story would have happened in today's time? In the 21st century? Praise God. I came across this while studying for this, and you guys just be patient, okay? This is more for the adults here, okay? Everybody likes a little bit of humor, okay? All right. Could you imagine if Noah happened during this age, okay? This is kind of what would happen. And Pastor Meadows probably has heard this before. Praise God. And this is most likely what happened. And the Lord spoke to Noah and said, in 1 year I am going to make it to rain and cover the whole earth with water until all flesh is destroyed. But I want you to save the righteous people and 2 of every kind of living thing on earth. Therefore, I am commanding you to build an ark. In a flash of lightning, God delivered the specifications for an ark. In fear and trembling, Noah took the plans and agreed to build the ark. Remember, said the Lord, you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in 1 year. Exactly 1 year later, fierce storm clouds covered the earth, and all the seas of the earth went into a tumult. And the Lord saw that Noah was sitting in his front yard weeping. Noah, he shouted, where is the ark? Lord, please forgive me, cried Noah. I did my best, but there were big problems. First, I had to get a permit for construction. And your plans did not meet the codes. I had to hire an engineering firm and redraw the plans. Then I got into a fight with OSHA over whether or not the ark needed a fire sprinkler system and flotation devices. Then my neighbor objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in my front yard. So I had to get a variance from the city planning commission. Then I had problems getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect the spotted owl. I finally convinced the U.S. Forest Service that I needed the wood to save the owls. However, the Fish and Wildlife Service won't let me catch any owls, so no owls. The carpenters formed a union and went out on strike. I had to negotiate a settlement with the National Labor Relations Board before anyone would pick up a saw or a hammer. Now I have 16 carpenters on the ark, but still no owls. When I started rounding up the other animals, I got sued by the animal rights group. They objected to me only taking 2 of each kind aboard. Just when I got the suit dismissed, the EPA notified me that I could not complete the ark without filing an environmental impact statement on your proposed flood. They didn't take very kindly to the idea that they had no jurisdiction over the conduct of the creator of the universe. Then the army engineers demanded a map of the proposed new floodplain. I sent them a world map. Right now, I am trying to resolve a complaint filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission that I am practicing discrimination by not taking godless, unbelieving people aboard. The IRS has seized my assets, claiming that I'm building the ark in preparation to flee the country to avoid paying taxes. I just got a notice from the state that I owe them some kind of user tax and failed to register the ark as a recreational watercraft. And finally, the ACLU got the courts to issue an injunction against further construction of the ark, saying that since God is flooding the earth, it is a religious event and therefore unconstitutional. I really don't think I can finish the ark for another 5 or 6 years, Noah wailed. And then the sky began to clear, the sun began to shine, and the seas began to calm. A rainbow arced across the sky, and Noah looked hopefully. You mean you are not going to destroy the earth, Lord? No, said the Lord sadly. I don't have to. The government already has. Praise God, praise God. Can I tell you, brother and sister, young adults, that just as the world was evil in Noah's day, before the flood, we live today in a very similar situation. You know, if you begin to look at the newspapers, begin to turn on the news, and begin to see the things that are happening, if you can walk through our public schools and see the things that are happening in our schools, in our neighborhoods, you might be enlightened to see that we live in a very evil time. And can I tell you this morning that God hates sin? He cannot stand sin. Young people, God is saddened. He is sad. He is upset when you sin against Him. When you make mistakes, when you trip and fall, God is sad. He doesn't like it. But God has given us a lifeboat. He has given us an ark, a spiritual ark. And this morning, can I submit to you that the church of the living God, this church, or this body, is the living church today. It is the spiritual ark. Praise God. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. We live in a time that people are being killed or assaulted. Drug abuse is at an all-time high. Theft is everywhere. Crimes are being committed in our very own city, all over the place. And people justify it day after day after day. They make excuses for it, why they're allowed to do it. And can I tell you this morning, it's wrong. It's wrong. Sin is wrong. There's no gray area about it. If you sin, it is wrong. Praise God. We can sit here all day and discuss the sin that is happening in today's world that we know. But the one thing that we know for sure that is that God hates sin. In Galatians the chapter 5, starting with verse 19, it says, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of that which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I believe the same message that Noah preached in his day is for the people today. Repent, repent, and be baptized in Jesus' name. Young people, we need to repent. We need to ask God for forgiveness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Young people, this is not something that I can give you this morning. It is not something that your parents can do for you. But this is something, it's not something that your pastor can give you either. But this is something that you've got to want and desire for yourselves. You've got to get it in your heart. You've got to want it. Say, God, I don't care what people do around me. I don't care what my friends are saying. I don't care if people criticize me, poke fun at me. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you, God. God, I want this for myself. Oh, shakalalamurkiya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember when I was just 16 years old, I was like many young person today. I didn't live for God. I went to a public school. I did wrong. I lied. I had sin in my life. But I'm so thankful this morning that I had a grandfather. I had a grandfather that made me go to church. You know, I'll tell you right now. At first, I didn't like going to church. I didn't want to go to church. But my grandfather made me go to church, you know. But I got to tell you, I went there and I would actually play underneath the pews during the preaching. I'd put bubblegum up underneath the pews while the preaching was going on. I'd sit there playing my army men while the preaching was going on along with my friends. I enjoyed playing with the other kids and stuff, but I didn't go because I wanted to go. I went because my grandfather made me go. But there came a time. There came a time when the preacher got up in front and began to preach a message. And Sister Crosley began to preach, praise God, a message very similar to the one that you're hearing here this morning. And the word of God went forth. And somehow, some way, God got a hold of my attention. And instead of playing, I began to listen to what the preacher was saying. I began to listen to the word that was being preached. And I determined right then and there that I needed God for myself. I couldn't rely on my friends. I couldn't rely on my parents or my pastor. I gotta want this for myself. Oh, hashakamurkiya. Young people, children, God, you gotta want this for yourself. You gotta want the Holy Ghost. You gotta want to get in the spiritual ark. Don't be the one left outside of the ark, banging on the walls, saying, "Let me in, Noah." But you gotta want to get in to this thing called, we call the church. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glorious Jesus. So one day I began to pray and I began to repent of my sins. And I want you to know that at a youth convention with 1,000 other young people, a pastor, a preacher, came up, and he walked up, and he picked me up, and said, "Come here." And he turned me in front of the whole congregation. 1,000 young people out there, staring at me. And you got to remember, I had long hair, you know, a little hippie, you know. But at this time, you know, I was listening to the word. I didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I was sitting on the front pew, worshiping with the best of them, okay? I didn't let the fact that I didn't have the Holy Ghost stop me from worshiping God. I was giving it my all. And this preacher, Brother Frost, pastors up in California. And he walked up and put his arm around me and said, when this young man gets to where he's going, where will he be? Where will he be? Praise God. And I want you to know that it pricked something in my heart. And I began to look and see the direction that I was going, and I realized that I didn't have the Holy Ghost. I wasn't living for God. I had sin in my life. And I realized that if I wanted to get to be a part of this thing called church, if I wanted to be saved and make heaven my home, if I wanted to get into this ark, I had to change my ways. I had to repent. I had to ask God, say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for all the things in my life. We say, Brother Reynolds, I'm a good kid. I'm a good person. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't do all these bad things. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter. We all have to repent. We all have to ask God for forgiveness. We have to ask God to take away the sins from our life. And I want you to know, young people, children, God will forgive you. God will take those sins away. You can count on it. You can believe it. God will take them away. And of course, many of you have been baptized. Where's Jason? Come on up here, Jason. Come on. Jason was just baptized not too long ago. Praise God. Come here, Jason. This is my buddy. Man, he got baptized the same year I got baptized when I was 16 years old. Praise God. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened when you got baptized?
Well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Sins washed away?
Yeah. Yep.
His sins were completely washed away. The Bible says that when you're baptized in Jesus' name, that those sins are washed away forever. Forever. God's never going to remember them again. They're cast into a sea of forgetfulness. Praise God. And I don't know about you, but those of you that have been baptized, when I came up out of the water, it was like a load, a heavy load was lifted off of me. I was free, just like they were singing today. Freedom! You're free from all that sin. Praise God. Praise God. Young people, so we've repented of our sins, and we've been baptized in Jesus' name. And you guys know what happens after that? Who can tell me what happens after that? What's the third thing? Amen. Let's turn to Acts 2:38. How many can quote Acts 2:38? Melanie, quote it. Give her a hand. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So, we repented. We were baptized in Jesus' name. And then we received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of these young people have already been filled with the Holy Ghost. But there are still some here that need the Holy Ghost. They need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And there's some of us that need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm one of them. How many here can say we need a refilling? We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Let's stand. I'm closing. We need to get in the ark. Praise God. We don't know when God's coming back, young people. But God says He's coming back. He's going to come back and He's going to take His people with Him. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left outside of that ark, but I want to get in church. I want to want this for myself. I want the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand, young people, if you want the Holy Ghost. How many want to live for God? How many want the Holy Ghost? How many want their sins to be gone this morning? As I keep talking here, I want all you young people to face up towards me. I want you guys to raise your hands up in the air. Jason, just go right down there, okay? Go right down there and raise your hands, okay? I want you to close your eyes, okay? And I'm going to ask all our Sunday school staff to come on up here. They're going to come pray with you guys. And anybody else that feels like you want to come pray with one of these kids, I'm asking you to come forth right now and begin to pray. And pray with them the three different steps. Repentance, baptism, and getting the Holy Ghost. Talk to these young people. Young people, you've got to want this for yourself. I want this.